Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something absolutely fundamental. Belief. But maybe not in the way you usually think about it.
Right. We're not getting into the what people believe, the specific politics or philosophies.
No, we're looking at the how. The actual mechanics, the structure of belief itself, how does it work, you know, under the hood, in our minds, maybe even in machines.
We're aiming for the science behind it, trying to find a kind of recipe for rational thought based on logic and math. How would you formally define belief if you had to?
And our guide for this is Nils J. Nilsson, specifically his work Understanding Beliefs, a Computational Framework. It's not a long book, but it packs a real punch. It gives us this formal model.
It really does. And it's incredibly relevant today, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, think about navigating information overload, misinformation.
Or even understanding how AI works, you know, how a self-driving car decides, or how these large language models seem to reason. It all comes back to needing some kind of rational model of belief.
And Nilsson provides that kind of foundational language. So before we dive into the model, let's talk about the man himself. Nils J. Nilsson. Who was he? Because his background is key here.
Definitely. Nilsson was, well, a giant in the early days of artificial intelligence, spent most of his career at Stanford. But crucially, he wasn't a philosopher debating belief in an armchair.
He was an engineer, right? And a logician.
Exactly. His perspective was always operational. He needed a functional definition of belief. Why? Because he was building machines that had to perceive their environment, reason about it, and then act crucially, act under uncertainty.
That makes so much sense. Yes. It wasn't just theory, it had to work.
Precisely. And his contributions are foundational in AI. He co-developed the A search algorithm.
Oh yeah, A that's used everywhere, like in mapping and logistics.
Everywhere. But maybe the most telling background for this book is his work leading the team that built Shaky the Robot back at SRI.
Shaky. The first mobile robot that could kind of reason about its actions.
That's the one. And imagine trying to program Shaky. It sees something. Is it really a block? How sure is it? 80%. 95%. It constantly had to update its internal map based on, well, imperfect sensors.
So the need to handle uncertainty in a machine drove him to formalize this whole system.
That's the core motivation. He needed a rigorous way for machine to manage its knowledge and its doubt. That's the genesis of this computational framework for belief.
Okay, so let's unpack this framework. Nilsson's goal is to cut through the ambiguity, the sort of fuzziness around belief, and give us something clear, structured, measurable. What's the absolute core idea?
The central idea is actually quite simple, but really powerful. He says a belief is essentially a proposition about the world.
A proposition being like a statement that could be true or false. It's raining outside.
Exactly. A testable statement. And the crucial part is that an agent, you, me, Shaky the Robot, assigns a degree of certainty to that proposition. He calls it subjective probability.
So it's not just yes or no, true or false. It's how confident you are. Like, I'm 90% sure it's raining.
Precisely. That's the fundamental shift. He starts by defining the pieces. The agent perceives and acts. The proposition is the statement. The belief is the agent's internal confidence level about that statement.
And he builds this up logically.
Yes. He first looks at standard logic, you know, the P implies Q stuff. It's elegant. But he shows it's just inadequate for the real world. It's like, isn't binary.
Right. My belief that the coffee shop is open isn't 100% true or 100% false until I actually check. It's maybe 95% based on their usual hours.
Exactly. That limitation of binary logic forces the move to probability.
And that's the big leap, moving from true-false to this nuanced probabilistic view where belief is a number between 0 and 1.
That's the absolute bedrock of the whole thing. Once you accept that beliefs are probabilities, you can then build the whole system. How we get beliefs, how we rationally update them when we learn new things.
Using things like Bayesian inference, which we'll get to.
Right. And ultimately, how those probabilistic beliefs connect to making rational decisions, which is kind of the whole point, isn't it? Beliefs have to guide action.
Okay, let's dive deeper into that architecture. You mentioned standard logic has limits. If P is true and P implies Q, then Q is true. Simple enough. But what if P is only probably true?
Yeah, that's the snag. Standard logic forces you to commit true or false. The moment you need to represent doubt or just, you know, pretty strong confidence, but not absolute certainty, it breaks down.
So the solution is chapter 3, degrees of belief. It's all about the subjective probability.
It is. It's the language that allows for coherence. Saying PA is 0.8 isn't just a vague feeling, it's a quantifiable statement of 80% confidence. And this framework, crucially, has mathematical rules for consistency.
Okay, that changes everything. But beliefs don't exist in isolation, do they? My belief about rain impacts my belief about needing an umbrella, which impacts my belief about whether the picnic will happen.
Spot on, they're interconnected. Which leads Nielsen to the next crucial piece. Belief networks, often called Bayesian networks.
Okay, what are those? Sounds technical.
The concept is actually quite visual. Imagine a network like a web. Each node in the web is a proposition. It rained, grass is wet, sprinkler was on.
Okay.
And the arrows between them show probabilistic dependencies. So the probability of grass is wet depends probabilistically on whether it rained or whether the sprinkler was on.
I see. So it maps out how beliefs influence each other's probability.
Precisely. And this structure is incredibly efficient for updating beliefs. If you get new evidence, say, you hear thunder that information can ripple through the network, automatically adjusting the probabilities of all connected beliefs.
That makes sense. It's a system. Which brings us to how beliefs change over time, right? Acquiring and revising them.
Yes, the dynamics. We acquire beliefs through perception, seeing, hearing, which is always imperfect, right? Our senses aren't perfect.
And through communication, someone tells us something.
Right. And in both cases, Nielsen stresses you have to factor in the reliability. How trustworthy is the source? How good are your sensors? That influences your initial probability assignment.
But the real engine of learning is revision, isn't it? Changing your mind based on new evidence.
That's the core process. And Nielsen argues very strongly that the rational way to do this is via Bayesian inference, using Bayes' rule.
Okay, Bayes' rule often sounds intimidating. Can you give us the gist?
The gist is simple, conceptually. It's a mathematical formula that tells you exactly how to update your existing belief, your prior probability, when you encounter new evidence.
So my prior belief about rain might be 30%. Then I see dark clouds. That's the evidence.
Exactly. Bayes' rule combines your 30% prior with the likelihood of seeing dark clouds if it were going to rain versus seeing them if it weren't, and gives you a new updated probability, the posterior probability. Maybe it jumps to 70%.
And doing that calculation is what makes the update rational and coherent.
According to this framework, yes. It's the mathematically consistent way to learn from evidence. It prevents you from, you know, overreacting or underreacting, ideally.
Okay, so we have beliefs as probabilities, structured in networks, updated via Bayes' rule. But why? What's the point of all this internal calculation?
Right. Beliefs aren't just for internal bookkeeping. They have to connect to the outside world. This leads to the final part. Beliefs, desires, and actions.
This is where it gets practical. Beliefs have to guide what we actually do. How do goals or desires fit in?
Nielsen introduces desires or goals, but he uses the formal term utility. Utility is just a number representing how much you value a particular outcome.
Like, how much do I dislike getting wet in the rain? Or how much do I like winning the game?
Exactly. It's the value you assign. And the rational decision rule combines these two components, belief and utility. It's called maximum expected utility, MEU.
Maximum expected utility. How does that work?
You basically look at each possible action you could take. For each action, you consider all possible outcomes. You multiply the utility value of each outcome by the probability, your belief, that that outcome will happen. Sum those up for each action.
And then
you choose the action with the highest total score, the highest expected utility.
Okay, let's use the classic umbrella example. Action one, take umbrella. Action two, leave umbrella.
Right. Outcome A, it rains. Outcome B, it doesn't rain. You have beliefs, probabilities for A and B. You have utilities for getting wet, staying dry, carrying an umbrella unnecessarily.
So if my belief probability of rain is high, say 0.8, and my utility for getting wet is very negative, say negative 10, while the hassle of carrying the umbrella is only slightly negative, negative 1.
Then the expected utility of taking the umbrella, avoiding the big negative hit of getting soaked, even with the small hassle, will likely be higher than the expected utility of leaving it, risking that big negative outcome.
Even if it doesn't rain and I carried it for nothing.
Exactly. It's about making the best bet given your beliefs and values. That's the MEU principle. It connects internal states to external rational action.
Okay, zooming out again. This whole computational framework gives us some really powerful ways to think about belief. What are the big key themes we should take away?
Well, the first, I think, is seeing belief itself as a computational construct.
Meaning it's basically information processing.
Yeah. It demystifies it. Thinking isn't magic. It's a process involving things like logic and probability. And if it's a process, you can analyze it, understand it, and maybe even improve it.
That leads to the second theme. Uncertainty is central. We have to get comfortable with it.
Absolutely. The shift to subjective probability isn't just a technical fix. It's a recognition that the world is uncertain. Very few things are 100% true or false for us.
So embracing that means more intellectual humility, thinking in shades of gray confidence.
Exactly. Which connects to the third theme, rationality as probabilistic coherence.
Being rational isn't about always being right.
No. It's about your beliefs being consistent with the laws of probability and about updating them consistently using rules like Bayes' theorem when new evidence comes in. It's about the process of thinking.
That takes some pressure off, actually. Focus on the process. Mm-hmm. And the fourth theme.
That beliefs are interconnected systems, those Bayesian networks we talked about.
Right, the web of beliefs.
Understanding that structure helps explain so much, like why it's hard to change someone's mind with just one fact.
Because that one belief is tangled up with and supported by a whole network of other beliefs.
Precisely. Changing a core belief often requires rethinking a large chunk of the network. It explains things like confirmation bias, where we favor evidence that fits our existing network, and why polarization can become so entrenched.
It's powerful stuff. Mm. Maybe we should highlight some of Nielsen's core ideas, distilled into key statements. What are the absolute must-remembers?
Okay, three crucial takeaways. First, the foundation. An agent's belief in a proposition should not be a binary yes or no, but rather a numerical degree of belief best represented by a subjective probability.
That's the shift to confidence levels. What's next?
The dynamics. A rational agent updates its beliefs in the face of new evidence according to the rules of Bayesian inference.
The engine of learning? Rational adaptation demands consistency. And the third?
The purpose. The purpose of belief is to inform action. Choosing the action with the maximum expected utility.
Beliefs aren't just thoughts. They're tools for effective behavior. That link is vital.
Absolutely. Theory connected to practice.
Which brings us nicely to real-life applications.
Right.
How can we use this framework day-to-day? The most obvious seems to be in our personal critical thinking.
Definitely. Try consciously assigning probabilities to your own beliefs. Instead of, I know X, try, I hold belief X with, say, 80% confidence based on Y and Z.
Just doing that forces you to examine your evidence, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And it makes you more open to revision. If you acknowledge it's 80%, you're implicitly acknowledging the 20% chance you might be wrong, making it easier to update when counter evidence appears.
It also helps understand misinformation.
Yeah.
Right. You mentioned the network idea.
Yes. If you see misinformation as part of a reinforcing belief network, you understand why simply debunking one point often isn't enough. It's like trying to pull one thread from a tightly woven fabric. You need a more systemic approach.
And this applies professionally, too. You mentioned medicine.
Hugely. Think about a doctor diagnosing a patient. They start with a prior probability of certain diseases based on symptoms. Then they get test results. That's the evidence. They use Bayesian reasoning, even if informally, to update the probabilities.
And then choosing a treatment.
That's MEU. They weigh the probability of the treatment working belief against the severity of side effects versus the benefit utility to decide on the best course of action. It happens in finance, engineering, everywhere. Decisions involve uncertainty and value trade-offs.
It's really striking how this formal, almost mathematical structure derive partly from building robots.
Maps so directly onto how we humans reason, or at least how we should reason to be effective.
Yeah. For me, the biggest takeaway, maybe the most surprising thing, is just that elegance. Seeing something as seemingly messy and subjective as belief rendered into a clear computational structure, it makes uncertainty feel less chaotic.
I agree. There's a clarity there. And for me, the deepest insight is realizing this universal logic. The principles you'd use to program a rational robot are fundamentally the same principles that explain both human triumphs and failures in reasoning.
So the lesson is?
Embrace the uncertainty. Formalize your doubt. Understand that operating effectively in a complex world means constantly rationally updating your probabilistic map of reality. It's not about finding absolute truth. It's about maintaining the most accurate, useful map you can.
A powerful way to think about thinking itself.
Indeed.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.